Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, church. So good to see you. Hope you're doing wonderfully well this August. And we just want to say, if you're a guest today, huge welcome. Come on, everybody, every location, all of us together. Put your hands together, welcome all our guests. If you're a guest today, you're just so welcome, and you just came on a great day. We are one church, so we move together in five locations across Sydney. We have one heart, one mission together, and we launch a new series, a new campaign together. So that's what we're doing today. And we are launching a new campaign called Origins. Come on, everyone say Origins. Yeah, that sounds good, Origins. And so we're going to be really unpacking the origins of our faith and diving into who God the Father is. And so this is going to be a beautiful couple of weeks. We just had prayer and fasting. How'd everyone go? Did you go all right? I did a digital fast. I know some people fasted Netflix, so you've been watching Disney Plus for the last 21 days. But hey, just a beautiful time of setting our lives aside for God. Remember, fasting and prayer, it's not about necessarily getting more of God. It's actually about giving God more of us. And so we just believe that God's doing a great thing in our lives. And if you believe that today, can you give God some praise? Come on, church, if you believe God is doing great things in people's lives, helping people know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, that's what this is all about. Come on, give God some praise today. Yeah, put your hands together. Come on, a little louder. Let's be bold, let's be proud, I love it. Beautiful. Well, high five two people. Yeah. Beautiful. And we're going to dive into things today. Origins. We're going to be looking at the book of Genesis. So come back to me. You with me? Come on, everybody. You with me? Here we go. Genesis. If you got your Bible, if you got a digital device, if you got a leather-bound Bible, grab it out. Let's read this together. Genesis 1, 1 to 4. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, in the beginning. Here we go. We're going to look at this on the screen together. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And the word for God there is Elohim, the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So here we have a really important account of creation. And amongst all the teachings on earth, on how earth was formed, Darwinism, Big Bang Theory, other religions, what I want you to catch today is what the Bible declares about creation. So, lean in with me. The Bible declares the following. The Creator God of the Bible exists. It declares that the entire universe, heaven, created spiritual beings, and all life on earth originated from creation. The Bible declares that God declared that his creations were good. Come on, everyone. Put your hand up if you are good. You're a good creation. You look good. God began creating without the use of any previously existing matter. Before creation, God just was. And he had no help in creation. There was no other existence. He created from scratch. God's creative activities cannot be explained by natural laws. Neither are they subject to the natural laws. The Bible declares that life has a purpose found in relationship. The Bible reveals that the God of the Bible designed all things. All things are a according to his design. Genesis 1:1 is the beginning point of time. We understand that time began. We are created in God's image, the Bible declares, to be like him. Imago Dei said that correctly the third time. We were created male and female. We understand the Bible declares we were created male and female. And we understand we were created to be in communion with God and with others. This is what the Bible declares about creation. And this is an important revelation for us all to catch. We also understand that God is three in one. God is the Trinity. He is the Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three equals. Holy Spirit's not junior Jesus, lesser than. They are three equals. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but with three very distinct roles. And so we can see in Colossians, in the book of Romans, in 1 Corinthians, that God the Father speaks, creates, and governs. The Son redeems and reconciles. The Son is the mediator between man and God. And the Spirit guides and sanctifies. So the church, as God's family, is called to live in obedience and unity under this unchanging Trinitarian guidance, reflecting the order, the love, and the purpose established by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in this campaign, in Origins, we're going to be looking at God the Father. Can everyone say God the Father? Beautiful. God the Father. So, you know, Oakland, he knows me as Daddy, but he knows Daddy does things that reveals who Daddy is and what Daddy is about. And so, you know, I am Daddy, his provider of fun and entertainment. That's me. I am Daddy, the one who wipes his bum. Yep, that's me. I am Daddy, the one who teaches him to respect my wife and his mother. I am Daddy, the one who can lift him up in one arm, my right arm, not my left, strong arm. Daddy, I'm the Daddy who races and lets him win. He never beats me, I let him win. And so this is who Daddy is to Oakland. And God the Father has names throughout Scripture that reveal who he is. And I mean, I literally have 40 names of God the Father here. I'm just going to read a couple. God the Father, Elohim, the Creator God. In Genesis, Yahweh, the Lord God. Adonai El Elyon, the Lord Most High God. Adonai, Lord. El Roy, the God who sees. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Olam, the Everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. The Shiloh, the Peacemaker, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. El Kano, the Jealous God. Adonai Mekadishikem, nailed it. The Lord your Sanctifier. These are the names of God that reveal who he is. And you got to understand that God in revealing who he is, over this next 3 weeks, we're going to see that God is a creator, God is the Lord, and Father God, that is, Father God creator, Father God the Lord, Father God, God Almighty. And Father God, God the Father, has always had a plan for salvation of his creation. And I want to really quickly help you to see that the three-phase plan, three movements of salvation that God the Father has always planned. Firstly, there was creation and the fall. There was creation, there was the fall. We know that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, sin entered the world, this was the fall. And this is the heartache of the Father. In the creation and the fall, we see the Father's heartache that there is disconnection through sin. And even then, even in the creation and the fall, we see that there is the purpose and the promise of redemption, the seed of it, because he says he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God is saying you will return, you will have victory over Satan, over sin, death, and the grave, and you will rise again. God's promise of redemption was there. From his perspective, a perfect creation was marred by disobedience. His heart aches as his children fall. but his love remains steadfast. Then phase two, or movement two of salvation, we see redemption and covenant. We see the suffering servant, Jesus, is being sent. He was pierced for our transgressions. We see a new covenant that Jesus brings in, the new covenant. We see God's love for humanity, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And at the Last Supper, we see God's plan for redemption is that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That the new covenant, Luke 22, 20, the Father's perspective, we witness the ultimate act of love and sacrifice in sending his only son to fulfill the promise in establishing a new covenant and redemption to humanity. Phase one, creation and fall, Father's heartache. Phase two, redemption and covenant, the Father's sacrifice. Phase three, movement three of salvation, consummation and new creation. Consummation means to make complete. And here we see the Father's joy, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, that there will be the end of suffering, that there will be no more curse, and that his eternal nature will be finally affirmed. Face to face, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. On the final day, when it is all said and done, the Father's joy will be complete. His creation restored, his children redeemed. He dwells among them in a renewed heaven and earth. The story that began with heartache will end in eternal joy. This is the Father's plan of salvation. And God the Father has always had this plan in mind. So C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion, without bothering about God. God cannot, listen to this, everybody, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. You and I are made to exist and be sustained under and in relationship with God himself. He designed our whole humanity. He designed our whole makeup to run on him, not on the things he does, not on his creation, but on the creator. And so this is the beautiful truth of the gospel, that in creating us, he designed us to be in relationship with him. Now, if you've got a broken watch, where do you take it? You take it to the watchmaker. You don't take it to the bookmaker. You don't take it to the car manufacturer. You take a broken watch to the watchmaker. And this is the gospel. Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father. Come on, everybody. This is the gospel. Jesus came to redeem us back to relationship and come back under the provision of our Heavenly Father. This is the work. Jesus is the mediator. He came to bring us back to God the Father. And this is so beautiful because we see in Matthew 3, 13 to 17, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, the baptizer, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Verse 15, it says, but Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In this moment, we see Jesus coming under the acceptance, the affirmation, and the approval of his heavenly Father. Acceptance, this is my Son. This is my Son. He belongs to me. Affirmation, beloved, God's affirmation for his Son. Approval, with whom I am well pleased. And just as Jesus came under the acceptance, the affirmation, and the approval of his heavenly Father, through Christ, all who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we too come under the acceptance, the affirmation, and the approval of our heavenly Father. And in your earthly experience of fathers, you may never have experienced acceptance. You may never have experienced affirmation, and you may never have experienced approval. But through Jesus Christ, we come back to God the Father, and we are reconciled and brought under the same love, the same acceptance, the same belonging through Jesus Christ. We receive what God poured out on him as fellow children, as co-heirs with Christ. And so this means our number one identity is that we are children of God. This is the number one identity. This is our relationship with God. How do we relate to God? We relate to God as our Father because through Christ, we are his children. Oh, I pray you get this deep in your heart, soul, mind. You relate through Jesus. We relate to God the Father as children. This is what Jesus died to give us, to bring us back to relationship with our Heavenly Father. Romans 8, 15 to 17. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are," there it is, everybody, "children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." I want you to catch this today, everybody. What Jesus has done, he has reconciled us back to our Creator, back into a relationship where we are children and we have a Father. And this becomes the number one identity in our lives. This is the number one identity. This identity that I'm a child of God is the identity that overshadows every other identity. Every other label, every other perceived identity that either people have told you you are, or you've told yourself you are, or you've picked up from other places. No matter what current identity you have, this is the gospel. When you receive Jesus Christ, you come into a new identity. That I am a child who has a heavenly Father. And therefore, whatever the Father says that I am, that's what I am. Whatever my Creator says I am, that's what I am. His word and his call on who I am is final. It is the presiding, it is the number one identity. The beautiful thing about the gospel, I remember Tim Keller said this, is that your identity in Christ is not achieved, it is received. And everything in life is all about achieving your identity. You're successful because of what you've done. You're this because of what you've done. But because of what Jesus has done, we are children. Our identity is not based on what we have done. It is based on what Jesus has done. And through that, we now live from an identity that says, I am a child of God. I am accepted. I am affirmed. I am approved. And it is from that I live my life, not unto it. It's from that place in Jesus' name. So, Jesus reconciles us to the Father, so we come under identity in him, but also his provision. And this is why Jesus taught the disciples to pray to our Father. You know the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 7 to 13. It says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus taught the disciples to pray to their Heavenly Father because our Heavenly Father is the one who sustains us. He is our provision. Jesus lived a life on earth for 3 years where he was constantly looking to the Father. He did nothing of his own accord. He did only what he saw his Father doing. Our Heavenly Father sustains us, provides for us. And look what Jesus taught. As I come to a close, I want you to see this beautiful passage of Scripture, Matthew 6. Turn your Bible there with me. Let's have a look at this. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet, who provides? Your Heavenly Father feeds them." Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Church, as I close, all I want you to catch today: God the Father, Elohim, Creator, through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled back to the Father, that we would come under the identity of our Father, that we are children of God, and we would come under his provision. It is your Heavenly Father who knows what you need. You know, like with Oakland, my eye is just always on him. And I've learned this thing where I know what he needs. I've actually learned to predict what he needs next. And it's just from observing, just because I'm always looking out for him. I know I can start to tell when he needs the bathroom. I can start to tell when he's hungry. I can start to tell when he needs some water. I love that kid so much, I can predict what he needs. I know his needs. And then what do? In knowing his needs, I don't then just disengage. I step in as provider. And church, hear this today. For every heart that is anxious, for every life that is feeling insecure, for every person that has gaps with your own earthly Father, I want to encourage you. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. And Jesus died to bring us back under his provision. So come and pray to your Heavenly Father. Tell him what you need. Ask him. He loves your prayers. He loves to hear you. This is our Creator God, the one who knows us and the one who calls us children. So everybody, as I close, worship team, join me. Let's pray. Father, we want to have a revelation of who you are. Father, we want to come back under our identity. If we've drifted from our identity as children of God, Lord, I pray over these next few weeks, Lord, that our identity in God as children would be solidified, that we would not be living for acceptance, affirmation, and approval, but we would be living from it. And Lord, I pray you would bring us back to the revelation that you are our provider, that our job is not our provider, our success is not our provider. You are our provider. And I pray, Father, let peace and security rest in every heart in Jesus' mighty name. Church, I'm going to hand over to the team. We love you so much. We're going to have a beautiful couple of weeks together. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.